I would invite you for a little while this evening, friends, to turn with me to that epistle to the Hebrews, written, I believe, by the Apostle Paul. And I preach by way of a text, which is found in the 10th chapter and the 12th verse. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12, where we read these words, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. But this man, when after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Now, the subject of our text this evening is in fact the same as the subject of the entirety of the Word of God, namely that of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the one to whom the Old Testament points and from whom the New Testament proceeds. Indeed, he is the very incarnate Word. Furthermore, and specifically, the text not only speaks of him in his person, but also past, it speaks of his works, and present, of his workings. And we will find these things set forth in the text before us this evening. And I would invite you to consider this text under the three following headings. Firstly, I believe we have a contrasting superiority. Secondly, a completed satisfaction. And thirdly, a conclusive sitting. A contrasting superiority, a completed satisfaction, and a conclusive sitting. So let us first of all consider a contrasting superiority. We find that in the opening words, "but this man," but this man. The word "but," as I'm sure you realize, is a transitional word, which means that it is a word which changes situations, circumstances, and conditions. For example, excuse the crudeness of the illustration, perhaps, but let's take a man who perhaps doesn't enjoy the most smoothest of relationships with his mother-in-law. There's a personality clash between them. And one day his wife comes to him and she said, "Darling, mother's going to come and stay with us for a month." And immediately the dear man is down in the mouth. But a few days later he hears, "But she now has toothache." And suddenly he's feeling a whole lot better. But it's changed the circumstance and it's changed the situation, hasn't it? And when we look into the Word of God, we find the "buts" of the Bible, which speaks to us of changing circumstances and situations and conditions. Particularly when we go to the epistle of the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome, and Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 to 8. "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die." And then that transitional word, but "God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Go on to verse 14. And here, contrast between the Lord and Adam, and how Adam was the head of the human race. "And nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift." And in verse 16, "But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." We go to chapter 6, where we are told at the end of that chapter that the wages of sin is death. And incidentally, my friends, sin pays a wage, and that wage is death. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then, of course, when we turn to Ephesians and that glorious second chapter, the Apostle Paul, though he didn't realize he was beginning this second chapter of Ephesians, because the translators hadn't got to work on the scriptures at that time. But here in our translations, he reminds them what has happened to them, and you have he quickened, that is brought to life, given life, and then he reminds them of what their previous situation was. Previous to that, what were they? They were dead in trespasses